Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Jim Gauss, who's a senior VP of Witkiefer. He's based out in Irvine. And we're going to talk a little bit, you know, I've done a number of podcasts over the years with folks about board diversity, but we actually, you know, and diversity on the board itself, but I've never done anything on how the board can set the tone for diversity within the workplace. And so I thought I'd spend a few minutes with Jim talking about that. And in particular in the healthcare area. So Jim, what is the current state of diversity in healthcare organizations today?
Thank you, Brock. Some organizations are really doing exceptional work bringing diversity to their boards and their senior management teams. Others probably do not need to be as attentive to the diversity issue simply because the populations that their organizations serve are not as diverse. But overall, the field still is relatively weak in terms of its board composition and its leadership composition. In a recent study that was done by the American Hospital Association's Center for Healthcare Governance, the findings were that only 10% of board composition was non-white. Gender diversity, which I know is not the primary subject today, was just better than that at 25%. But I think the summary in terms of where things sit today is that the boards and leadership teams really do not reflect the communities that are served by many of our nation's health institutions. Now, we recently did a study called Building the Business Case for Diversity. And I'll just share with you a couple of very brief highlights on this. While survey respondents believe that business benefits of diversity leadership are very clear, only 13% agreed that the gap in board and senior leadership has been filled. Taking a closer look at that data, 24% of Caucasian respondents agreed, while only 11% of all minority respondents agreed. The split really mirrors findings of a very similar study that we did in 2006. So unfortunately, I need to share that fairly little progress has been made on this issue. Among those respondents who disagreed that healthcare organizations have been effective in closing the gap, the group most in disagreement were African American respondents at 80%, while only 64% of Caucasian respondents disagreed. While that's not a big gap, I think it shows that there are some misconceptions in terms of how well we're really doing in filling the board and leadership gaps in our healthcare institutions.
So there's been obviously healthcare reform is probably the number one topic in the country right now. I guess I get number two behind the economy. But why is diversity and leadership so critical at this stage in the reform efforts?
Diversity has been on everybody's radar screen for probably a quarter century, but I certainly haven't seen it receive as much attention than I have in the last 5 or 10 years. And I think health reform is certainly a centerpiece to kind of bringing that issue forward. I mean, part of that legislation speaks to diversity specifically, but more broadly, the issues around linguistics, patient satisfaction, and above all, clinical outcomes in healthcare organizations are now being tied to the reimbursement that our organizations, our healthcare organizations receive. And so over time, what's going to happen here is those that are most effective in serving the populations that they serve, many times diverse, will in fact, for the first time, be paid on the basis of how well they care for those patient populations. And so if we consider patient satisfaction, the ability of organizations to make good decision-making for their patient populations, meeting their strategic goals, and obviously achieving good outcomes, which is really everybody's goal, That is all really part of this health reform movement. Again, if I might just briefly comment on the survey that was shared, we studied each of these various areas, and related to patient satisfaction, nearly two-thirds of the respondents believe cultural differences improve patient satisfaction. And the younger respondents, those ages 31 to 40, reported an even higher agreement. They responded at a 70% level. So obviously those that are coming through the pipeline are envisioning this as even more of an important issue in the future. Secondly, related to the organizations being able to have successful decision-making and meeting their strategic goals, more than 57% of our respondents indicated that they believe better decision-making would be made in their organizations if they had more diverse boards and more diverse leadership teams. Interestingly, 65% of CEOs indicated a better decision-making with better diversity. Likewise, in terms of meeting the strategic goals of the organization, certainly one of which is serving diverse populations, more than half of the respondents acknowledge that diversity recruiting enables their organizations to reach their strategic goals. And lastly, and why this is so important relative to health reform, which is really speaking to getting better outcomes for our patients, nearly half, 46%, believed that having diverse teams increased the likelihood of better clinical outcomes. These numbers climb even higher for chief operating officers who responded, over 50%, human resource executives, 59%, and again, the younger people that responded, those in their 30s, indicated that over 56% of the time clinical outcomes would be improved through good health reform if there were more diversity in the boardrooms and in senior management.
So what's the board's role in promoting diversity within the companies that they serve on the board?
Right. The really interesting dynamic that has taken place in many health organizations and certainly other industries as well is that there has been a fair amount of influence exerted by boards to increase the level of diversity, both ethnic and gender, in the senior management teams and below. But I think it's really been in the last decade that boards have really started to need to put a mirror up and look at themselves. And I think we need to say simply it starts from the top. And so the first thing a board can do is take a look at its composition, both ethnic and gender, and determine whether or not the representation there is reflective of the communities that they serve. Also, boards obviously carry the primary responsibility not only for recruiting, but of course evaluating the chief executive officer. And we have certainly seen boards increasingly tie incentive compensation and bonuses and performance to certain particular diversity goals. You know, those may be numbers of diverse individuals in senior management. But it also may dig much deeper, which is one of my pet peeves, and that is the organization's readiness there to be able to recruit senior teams. Once we get beyond the numbers, what I think boards have also done, those that I think have really done benchmark work in this area, is that they have impressed upon senior management the importance of developing good metrics in talent management and succession planning. And while this certainly is not a diversity issue solely, undoubtedly the ability to assimilate diversity goals within the talent management processes certainly could be a board policy and a board goal. And lastly, I think boards simply need to ask the question, to what degree does the board, the senior management, the caregivers of their organizations reflect the communities that they serve? And I think as they go about developing strategic plan and policy for their organization, it'll really assist them in understanding whether or not they are really both reflective of the communities, as well as are they improving the community trust, which is really why they're there to begin with.
So what about CEOs? What should their role be in promoting diversity as compared to the board itself?
CEOs, to the earlier point here relative to talent management, are obviously principally responsible for the development of the senior management team. And again, the whole business of developing a more a diverse team and an organization that really is ready for diversity centers around CEO's ability to develop really concrete talent management processes. So what do some of the real kind of forerunning organizations do in this regard? Number one, they take diversity recruiting very seriously. In our study, those organizations and CEOs that did good work in this area responded that at a level of over 50%, they make a commitment to recruiting diversity very seriously. 49% of our respondents indicated that they provide opportunities for diverse candidates, and slightly less than 50% devote substantial resources to diversity. The other interesting piece of data that kind of got pulled from our survey is that CEOs are very focused on what are the critical solutions for diversity success. And if I might share with you some very high numbers on this, those organizations and CEOs that were sensitive to cultural differences in the workplace indicated that 95% of the time they were more likely to be successful in this area. Same numbers hold true for CEOs that hold regular meetings to get input regarding diversity initiatives. And lastly, as it ties into talent management as well, almost 90% of our survey respondents indicated that they mentor people of color to assist them in coming through the workforce and moving into senior management. As we know, that all starts with the CEO. And lastly, I would share regarding kind of leading best practices. All organizations and CEOs that responded indicated that at the 90th percentile or above, that they create mentoring programs in their organization, they sensitize management on key diversity needs, they communicate clear strategies regarding diversity initiatives, and I do mean the rank and file, not just within the boardroom and within senior management. And also at over 90%, CEOs take seriously bringing young people of color into their organizations. So I think starting, you know, from the boardroom and then certainly through the CEO role, it's abundantly clear that this work really only takes hold in organizations if the board and the CEO take this work very seriously.
Yeah, I completely agree. And in my field, in the securities world, it's unbelievable how non-diverse it is, and particularly the upper crust law firms that tend to do a lot of the work for Wall Street. I know when I worked at the SEC in the late 90s, the chairman of the SEC then, Arthur Levitt, that was one of his initiatives to try to get Wall Street to be more diverse, and I'm not sure it really has changed much over the last decade.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think as we've studied this subject now for probably upwards of 15 years, while you know, the data and the numbers have upticked slightly, the issue remains. And as we all know, the population of our country is changing. And, you know, specific to healthcare organizations, you know, the communities that are served by many healthcare organizations are now highly diverse. So, as I said at the beginning, I think there, you know, on the positive side, there are some what I call kind of magnet organizations that have really done some upstanding work in this area. You do see healthcare companies now represented in Diversity Inc. magazine's top 50. But as a general rule, I unfortunately would need to concur with you that you know, this just has not made its way to the top five priority for many healthcare organizations.
Well, thanks again for your time, Jim, and it's been great.
Thank you, Brock.